scripture that the Apostle Paul, in his passionate reminder of what it is to live into the joy of God's redemption in Jesus, says to pray without ceasing, and that seems unbelievably impossible to do. I think if we think of prayer in terms of asking for things, but I believe Paul means that to encounter the reality of an indwelling God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us, and to listen to that, and to be able to embrace and to hear that as who we are in our heart, is to pray without ceasing. Worship gives us some of those opportunities, and when we're gathered, we let that Spirit conjure up within us cares for our brothers and sisters, challenges in our own life, celebrations, all of the things that the Spirit inspires within us. And as a community, we put together a list of concerns or persons that for various reasons we want to be mindful of in prayer, and those are printed in the bulletin. I would add too, Michelle Young's mother, who fell and got fairly broken, is still in Duke Hospital. Her name is Wilda Reeves, so continue to lift up Wilda and certainly Michelle, her family. Chad Sanford, who we've noted there's a fundraiser for and such an important part of our community. And when we were at our congregational gathering, the United Methodist Churches in community, every church knew about Chad and what was happening and was seeking to do things together. So we'll continue to lift him in prayer as well. There are others, and there will be others that will come to mind, and some you won't even be able to identify, but your Spirit calls to Spirit. And let's take a moment to just simply allow God's word to open up in our hearts as we prepare for prayer. Thank you, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you give us love and peace through Christ Jesus, that you offer to us the key to all scriptural knowledge through your Holy Spirit, and that for those who are in the midst of life's problems and challenges, you grant your wisdom and your insight from above. We pray that for those who are burdened by anxiety and fear and uncertainty, that your wise assurance would fall upon each of us in time of need. We pray for those facing decisions about family or career, and we pray that you would bless them with your wisdom on high. And for those maybe under the radar, but are entering a new chapter of their life, maybe the birth of a child, a taking of a new job, finding a place to live, entering retirement. All of these movements, these transitions, may you be transformational and guide them on the proper path and bless them in this movement with a sense of your peace. And for those who are suffering in ways we understand, in ways we are blinded to, grant relief to all of them. And for those who are in need of healing, bring your wholeness. And for the grace of your presence in our lives in the most intimate way, we share the prayer that you have given to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. for that relationship. How do we express our joy? One of the great gifts God has given to us is in His provision of all things. We are enabled and encouraged and find joy in sharing. So if the ushers would come forward, let us share with hearts and minds and souls of joy our tithes and offerings. Thank you for a moment to think of all of your gift for us, the abundance in sight, sound, being, our physical needs, and our ability to love. May we, in our offering, return all of these, financial and inspirational, through love, to glorify you and to bring glory to you through your kingdom, and to find our relationship with you continue to grow and flourish. This we pray and ask your blessings on our participation. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to please be seated.
What amazing music this morning. I don't know about you, but that's like in my sweet spot today. So we are so grateful that the Spirit allows us to move in that way. This way that music touches us, I pray with the choir every Sunday, not so that they'll get better, just so that their gift would continue to flow and to pour out. Because for us in this morning to create a space where transformation can happen, we have to be moved. We need a new way to think. We can't simply remain and be made new. There has to be opportunity for us to shift and to be formed, and music is so important to that. G.W. Watts painted a picture, and I don't usually talk about artists because I don't know much about that, but in talking about hope, he painted a picture entitled Hope, and in this picture was a woman, sort of looked like a Greek long gown, and she was sitting on a large, looked almost like a planet kind of shape of a brown ball, and kind of red and brown colors all behind her. She was in a grayish, kind of tattered garment. Her feet were bare as if she'd been on quite a journey, and she's holding what looks like a harp, like a lyre, you know, sort of a U-shape that would have strings coming down this way. And she's blindfolded, not really formally, but sort of like Justice looks, but clearly she can't see, but she's very attuned to her instrument, which has but one string. It's clear that several of the strings are missing. And this work of art is entitled Hope. And that's what got my attention. How is it that we encounter hope? And how possibly could we encounter hope in an image of a human who's had simply looks like travails and difficulties, who's seemingly looking exhausted and doesn't have the use of all of her senses, and then is clinging to an instrument that is missing pieces? Just one string. Where's hope in that? And it's all about, I think, how our minds are formed. It's about what Jesus has shared with us in the Holy Spirit. It's about what Paul shares with us, and he talks frequently about hope coming through even in the struggles. It is our minds so frequently and commonly, and I think sinfully, and please hear that not as bad and good, but is in broken and not aimed in the right direction, in a condition that God is healing sinfully, that we focus so much on what is wrong, on what is broken, on what is missing. Our minds seem to work in, and at least our logical minds, in terms of either this or that. Either I'm right or I'm wrong, or more likely, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Right? That's how we think. And if we look at a situation, the first thing we look at is, why doesn't it work? What's not going to happen here? Where I need more, I need to attain, I need to achieve. There has to be something more. How can, out of loss, hope is to have more stuff. Hope is that things will be better than they are now because I seem to be missing now. That's how our kind of logical minds have been shaped and formed to think. And so, to begin to embrace the fact that there can be hope in this woman, in this painting, not because of what's missing, but because what she has, which is one string that's working. And so, intent and embraced in that, maybe she blindfolded herself simply to not be distracted from the call of who her life is, that her gift of making music, her communication, the essence of who she is called to be, the path that has been laid out, the giftedness that she's been giving, the way that she fits into community, the way that her life works and is ordered, that the ability to do that is sufficient with even one string. And with one string, she can still pour out her heart, mind, soul, body, and spirit into that which God has called her to do. So there's hope that she can be who she is called and created to be. And circumstances be damned, it doesn't matter, because there's hope. Now, Jesus instructing his disciples, this is John's gospel. We've been there and so much talk about the Holy Spirit the last few weeks. Jesus sharing information and a promise of the Holy Spirit coming to dwell and how his indwelling with the Father, Son, this meshing of humanity and divinity, how all of that is good news and that the disciples will experience that and that those following will experience that this is a new and wonderful thing that's been done. And even though situation will look shortly for Jesus' disciples much different, his suffering, death, in resurrection, there's hope. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm not going to abandon you to a place where you lose out. But what you must come to understand, brothers and sisters, is that old thinking will not produce hope. Old thinking is what's gotten us into the place that we're in that Jesus rescues us from. And we, as faithful disciples of our own selves, will frequently crawl back into this dichotomy, this two-way thinking, searching for our own manufactured hope on our own, with our own resources, of our own person, and by our own measurement. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth will speak not for its own glorification, but will speak what I have spoken, what I will inform you, will dwell with you, will share, because I, the Father, the Spirit, we're one. We'll give you all that you need. All that you need to have hope. All that you need to move forward. All that you need to know, to feel, and become the children of God whom you are becoming in Jesus Christ, or who we become in Christ Jesus. That Spirit has everything. I have everything from the Father. And if you listen carefully, what Jesus is talking about again is relationship. And our problem, the obstacle that sometimes blocks us from our hope, is that we think truth is about being right. And truth is not about being right. It is about being in relationship. Truth has nothing to do with correctness. It has everything to do with community. The truth, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm the way, I am the correct information, and I am the life. He embodied something, and the truth is relationship. He's saying the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit will enter and be informing us of the false self that we've been living. He will inform us of our relationship, indwelling of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, what does this mean? Well, let me sort of push it this way. Let's assume that in our minds, the way we think of ourselves, out of our ego, not bad ego, just a sense of self, is that we're a person. We're here. I think about myself. The old, I think, therefore I am. I mean, that's not very biblical, right? That is kind of the sinful side of missing out on who God has really made us. But we think about ourselves and our mind and who we are and how other people think about us and what we think of them. And our value is in our vocations and in our what we've accomplished and how people feel about us, our need to be loved and important, and all of those things that self can generate. That's why we're so desperate in times of conflict to be right. I have to be right. And that makes the only way I can think about and protect my ego is that someone else then must be wrong. Have you had any conversations lately where you felt you were right and were adamantly, even angrily offended at other people that disagreed with you because you felt they are wrong? Anybody have that conversation? Those people did this. They don't know what they're talking about. How could they believe this? Our own conference has been wrestling for 10 days and acting like, well, the ego full on. We must believe this. We can't believe. As if there is only right and wrong. And we forget Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of Truth will dwell with you. The Spirit of Truth is coming to you. The Spirit of Truth is relationship. You are not right or wrong. That doesn't define who you are. You are not. You have roles. We all have roles. We wear different hats in our life. But at our core, the good news is that Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dwells within us. We are children of God. We are redeemed. We are made perfect. Do you realize how much time we spend in religion figuring out how do I get to heaven? Have you ever taken a test that wasn't the question? Paul in Romans says, look, we are made, you're justified in Christ Jesus. In his faithfulness and your willingness to participate in it, it's a done deal. You are made holy and perfect and true and wonderful. This is the great joy we have. You no longer have to worry if you're loved. You no longer have to worry if you're a success in the world. You no longer have to worry that am I loved or then I don't exist. You don't have to worry about achieving and acquiring and moving to fill this void of becoming perfect. And you certainly don't have to live a certain way so that you can be with Jesus in heaven. That's like the opposite of the gospel. The gospel says it's been done for you, thanks be to God. So take that one off the burner. Take that anxiety of feeling like what I do and what I accomplish, that somehow will get me somewhere. That's not the heart of our faith. That's missing the spirit of truth. That's suggesting that my ego and the way I think about things and my perspective, that then either gets me in or out or makes me holy or not. Paul said that's how we used to work, but that's not the way it is now. The way it is you are indwelt with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, justified in Christ. So that even in difficult places, in situations where death, job loss, you name the difficult situation that we encounter, that no longer has the power over your hope. That no longer in any way defines who you are at the heart of your soul. You no longer have to look for those things to determine whether you are worthy or not worthy. Because this true self that indwells in us, our encounter with the divine, Jesus, fully human, fully divine, those coming together means this is our promise. And if we can simply listen to that true self, if we, as we worship, if we can commune, if when we pray, we can shut out these issues of what's self-important and realize to begin with, no matter what happens, we are divinely important. What are mortals that the Lord of all creation would pay any attention? You know what we are? We are the vessels of the Holy One. We are so important to God that God has chosen to dwell with us and within us. This is where we start, brothers and sisters. And when we embrace that, all of a sudden the world changes. This is different kind of thinking. This is gospel thinking. What does it mean for me not to be afraid of losing? Not because it doesn't hurt, not because there isn't pain, not because there isn't loss, but that my very being, that you are, the thing that yearns in you to find peace and grace and exist and know that you are, that isn't in your thinking mind. It is in your essence. And that's what the Spirit is to teach us, to remind us when things are dark that there is hope. So Paul says, even though you suffer these things, what will happen is not your destruction. What will happen is that you will be carried through, that there is perseverance that leads to, he uses the word character, but I think the way he means it, and maybe to understand us, is to say, if you believe this piece of precious metal wrapped up in all of this gunk, that when you burn off all the gunk, you're still going to have the precious metal, right? The refiner's fire in other places. If that's who you truly are, if that's who we are, loved by Christ, indwelt, that union, that relationship, then all of these other things will burn off. And you will never be to a place where you'll be psychologically and physically undone, right? The Father, Son, Spirit, this creation is together. Now, I know some of this seems, the word I think is metaphysical, tough. Because no one has complained that we have taken our faith and made it logical and rational and combative. Those people, how could they? How dare they? If we don't make this rule, all the world will come undone. Because that's how I see things. Urgh. Man, there's no peace in that. There's no joy. All that is insecurity. and closing out the truth of the Spirit that dwells in you. Every bit of that anger and that venom and that I got to get somebody and it can either be this or this, that anywhere that there's no room in between for you is not of the Holy Spirit. It's saying, well, part of this belongs to God, but part of it doesn't. Well, that's not the God of all creation. It's God's and it belongs. Our gift and our relationship is to not focus up and down. That's already been fixed. Thanks be to God. Oh, Lord. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Thank you. That's been fixed. The direction is outward and together. Why don't we help other people? Because we ain't got enough. Or if we give it away, we'll be out of it. Or they think different than I do. Or I'm not sure if they're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and they're wrong, and I can't risk engaging in that. Or I'm not sure of who I am because I look like I'm doing this job, and if I hung out with these people, that would look bad and my whole identity would be shattered, said the world in sinfulness. Jesus goes, let's come on. This is about outward. This is about sharing with others because there's no fear of what you lose. There's pain and there's uncomfortableness like we've all experienced, but there is no fear that we are destroyed. There is no fear that somehow we'll be bereft. There's no fear that we'll be left alone from who we are. There is always hope because there is this one string of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling within us that sustains us. And the deeper you dig, the more it is revealed. But you and I will have absolute obstacles to discover that if we continue to think the way that we're thinking. That's why some of us, oh, I know Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and then we don't know anything about what we just sang or said, and we don't believe that all the majesty and the glory and the power, because we got to get our own majesty and our own glory and our own power. And we got to make sure we got our stuff and they don't get their stuff. That's not believing. That is simply intellectualizing something and saying, I can't buy into it. But when we buy in and we shift our thinking, when we're willing to be transformed and not just ruled or directed, then things open up. And I'll tell you, this is sort of what it looks like, or it did to me 2 weeks ago. I was at our daughter Emily's graduation at UNC Asheville. And it was a great day. It was beautiful. And there's, 400 kids graduating, I guess. And so we're sitting on this big lawn and can't see the stage exactly, but it's up there. And the president speaks and the chancellor and all that. And they give away some honorary degrees, right? They do that at graduations. They honor people in the community, people who have achieved, and they give an honorary degree. There was a lady who was honored. Her name is Julia Ray. This is in Asheville. Julia Ray, African-American woman who is 101 years old. I go, wow, that's amazing. Oh, that's so nice. She's 101. Bless her heart. The person introducing her starts to tell about her life. When she was born, how she met her husband. They came to Asheville and they bought an old hospital, and they turned it into a funeral home. And of course, then, and this would have been in the 40s after the war, she'd helped in that war effort. He had served. They bought what was this little hospital into a funeral home, which of course, in that case, in Asheville, would have been for African Americans, right? And so we had separate all of that stuff. But she just kept on moving in this community. And then she became involved in the YWCA, and then she ended up helping to work on integration on that just by being in the place and doing it. And then they say, oh, by the way, she was the first African-American woman on the board of directors at Mission Hospital, and she helped to create a new wing that helped this and that. And then they told some more about her, and they told some more about her. And I was thinking, I've lived in Asheville, and I can't imagine in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s what it would mean for an African-American to have some of the amazing change because of the lack of power in that place. And a woman in that situation, and one after her husband died, she continued to live on. Of course, she's 101. And she's simply living into these places. And my telling you of this story doesn't do it justice, but I need to share what I experienced. As this person simply said, these are the things that she has, this is the way she's lived her life, this is where she's simply been, I started to cry. People around me were moved emotionally. I'm telling you, the spirit of this woman, who I couldn't even see. I think she was seated and she's 101. I mean, I just, you know, little thing. It was clear that she was playing the one string, right? Her hope never abated because she simply did what she was called to do. And she didn't have to promote or project or to make a point or be right. She simply lived and loved in a community. And the community was transformed. And when you hear her story with her sitting on that stage, you're moved. And that entire crowd stood. And for 5 minutes, we gave her a standing ovation. You couldn't help but stop. Tears pouring down our face. Students up there crying and clapping. The whole community. Now, we didn't clap like that for anybody else, including the graduates. And they're our daggone kids. I'm telling you, it was a moment where the Spirit of truth said, that is what hope looks like. And all you got to do is bump into it or stand around it or catch a whiff of it or hear about it. And your life all of a sudden becomes filled with a new energy and a new hope. She's not different from you. She has nothing special that you don't have, that I don't have. There's nothing unique and set apart other than she, I believe, has listened and embraced who God has made her. And her hope, I believe, comes from simply living in the trust of who she is, not who she thinks she had to become. Or what she might lose. That is exactly who I'm looking at right now. And intellectually, you will not believe a word of it. That's okay. The Spirit of truth dwells in you. And as you are led, and as you quiet the voice of ego and anger and distraction and the need to be right, and you begin to hear God as the one who loves us, who cares for us, who has made us perfect, who dwells with us, who loves us when it doesn't make any sense, in a way that pours in love that you can't even begin to hold in. So too will persons hear and encounter you, and they will be moved, and they will discover the God that dwells in them. This is the gospel. And this is why music moves us. It's why persons who encounter this moment, why they move us, and why we can know, not just up here, but in here, the truth of God's love. That's the gospel. That is our blessing and our hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My question to you as we get to sort of respond to the amazing prelude this morning with holy, 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 will you open your heart and allow the Spirit of truth to help you understand this is what's on the inside of you? Holy, 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 right? This is who dwells within us. Let us stand and sing.